In our next two sessions together, we're going to be talking about personality styles. So critical that you understand that you have a particular personality style. And the people with whom you'll be negotiating do also. And when the two don't match, you have problems. This will be so important to you in your success as a negotiator. But in addition to that, it may be very helpful to you in your interpersonal relationships too. And I conduct seminars all over the country, and it's always nice when people come up to you afterwards and shake your hand and say, I really got something out of that. But sometimes you know that you have really touched people. A lady in Dallas came to me and she said, you know that session on personality styles that you conducted? That's the most important thing that I've ever learned in any seminar anywhere. She said, I've been married for quite a few years now, and it's never been quite right between me and my husband. But now I can see why. We're just opposite personality styles. And I can see the things now that I do that irritate him. And now I know what to do about it, and it's going to be okay. Another man at another seminar said to me, where were you 8 years ago when I went through my divorce? So, this will be important to you in many areas of your life other than just negotiating. I first got involved in analyzing personality styles like this when I went to a success rally at Anaheim Stadium many, many years ago. A success rally, if you haven't been to one, is when a group of promoters hire a great big stadium, and the audience will be maybe 50 or 60,000 people, and they bring in top speakers from all over the country, and each speaker has about 45 minutes. And the event may last from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. The thing that fascinated me about this afterwards was that on the way home with a group of friends that I had gone to the success rally with, we couldn't agree on who we thought was the best speaker. One person said, oh, I like that down-to-earth speaker, not a particularly dynamic speaker, but gave a lot of information in a short period of time, and that's what I go to a seminar for. I don't particularly care about the style or the dynamics of the presentation. Another person said, well, I like that motivational speaker, the guy that jumped up on the table and had all those props on stage. And boy, he really got me turned on. I thought it was fantastic. Another person said, well, I don't know why people have to yell at you like that. Why can't they just talk to you? I like so-and-so. He seemed like such a nice person. He's someone that I'd really like to get to know. And another person with us, who happened to be an engineer, said, well, I didn't care for the whole thing at all. I thought it was just a bunch of hoopla. How much information can you get in 45 minutes? They didn't give the educational qualifications to the speakers when they introduced them, and I thought it was all kind of phony. And what occurred to me was that if a speaker can talk to an audience and get totally different responses from the people in the audience, then it follows that when we're negotiating with people, we can use the same approach with different people and get totally different responses. So I gradually worked on this and evolved this system of personality styles, which I think will be very, very important to you. And it's contrary to a lot of the sales training that you may have received, which says just learn a specific way of saying things to people and doing things, and just say it that way to enough people and it will work. Not so. You've got to adapt what you're doing to the personality styles of the different people as they relate to your personality style. So first of all, let's identify your personality style. And the easiest way I've found to do that is to ask for your reaction to being at a seminar. Now, we're going to cover four personality styles here. The first personality style is the pragmatic. They will go to a seminar because they want to learn. They're very much a bottom-line kind of person. And they will not evaluate the seminar based on whether they like the speaker or not, or whether they had a good time or not. They will evaluate it strictly based on the amount of useful information they leave there with. This is the kind of person who will leave a seminar and say, you know, that was a pretty good seminar. Picked up some interesting information there, but did it really have to take an hour and a half? I bet if he'd have got all the stories and the jokes out of the thing, he could have given us the same amount of information in half the time. And when I think about it, the people running the thing could have mimeographed off the highlights and mailed it to us. We need not have gone to the seminar at all. These are very, very time management conscious people. These are the people who will subscribe to a condensed book service. You know, one of those services where they take a 300-page book and they condense it down to 3 pages? Then they'll take that condensation and with their highlighter, they'll highlight just the few key phrases that are critical to them in it. If you see yourself in this, write yourself down as a pragmatic. The next personality style is the extrovert. The extrovert goes to a seminar because they want to have a good time. And the fact that they're being spoken to by a professional speaker means they're saying, okay, you're a professional speaker. You get me excited. I want to feel good when I leave here. I hope you're not going to throw a bunch of charts and graphs and projections up there because I really bogged down in all that detail work. Just fill it up with jokes. I'll write them all down and can't wait to get back to the office to try them out. And when I leave here today, I want to feel good. If you see yourself in that personality style, write yourself down as an extrovert. The next personality style will go to a seminar because, for much as for any other reason, they want to be around people who have similar interests. And the ambience, the feeling that they get from being there, is the most important thing to them. They tend to look around the room and be sure that the other people are having a good time also, because that's very critical to them. They say to the speaker, hey, don't yell at me. I hope you're not one of those high-powered motivational speakers that races up and down the aisle, jumps up on the table, and all gets us all to stand up and chant things, because I can't stand that. I want to feel that during the intermission I could come up to you and talk to you and you'd be warm and friendly. I'm not particularly interested in a high-powered personality-style speaker. If you see yourself in this, write yourself down as an amiable. The fourth style is the analytical. The analytical, unlike a pragmatic who'll get bored in a 1.5-hour talk, can sit through a 10-day symposium on the effect of the expansion of oxygen on the planet Mars in the year 2015 and come away at the end of 10 days feeling, boy, they just scraped the surface of the topic, didn't they? Didn't get into any real depth there at all. If you see yourself in that, write yourself down as an analytical. Now, hopefully this has given you enough information to identify with one of these personality styles. If it hasn't, please back the tape up, go through them again until you can pick one that you feel is most likely you. Because understanding this will help you with everything that follows from here on out. Now, having identified your personality style, we're going to show you why you are this way. Take a piece of paper and divide it vertically, divide it horizontally, so that you now have four squares. A top right, bottom left, top left. Write the first personality style in the top right. That's the pragmatic. In the bottom right, write extrovert. In the bottom left-hand corner, amiable. In the top left-hand corner, analytical. Now, the horizontal line is assertiveness level. Low on the left, high on the right. Which means that the analytical and the amiable are less assertive than the pragmatic and the extrovert. Now, by assertiveness level, I mean that assertive people, the pragmatics and the extroverts, are kind of take-charge people. If they're involved in any activity, they're probably wondering how they would do it differently if they were in charge of it. Whereas the people on the left of the chart, the analytical and the amiable, they're less assertive. They don't have that driving desire to be in control. And if somebody's organizing a softball team or a blood bank drive at their office, they don't feel the need to be in control of it all. Another way of looking at assertiveness level is the willingness that you have to assert your ideas and philosophies to other people. High on the right, low on the left. So an assertive person is typically a persuader. He's either a manager or a salesperson, but he likes to be in control. That would be a pragmatic or an extrovert. Whereas the people on the left, they're more reluctant to force their opinions on other people. Another thing about assertive people is that they typically have short attention spans. This is why they'll get bored in an hour and a half talk, or even a half hour talk for that matter. Their minds are constantly flooding from one thing to another. They won't be thinking about the same thing 15 minutes from now. Because of the short attention span, pragmatics and extroverts get in the habit of making decisions quickly. They'll take a look at something, they'll either go for it or they won't go for it fairly fast. Whereas the less assertive people, the analyticals and the amiables, they have long attention spans. This is why they can sit through the 10-day symposiums. Because of the long attention spans, they get in the habit of making decisions slowly. They genuinely need time to think things over. So here we've got our first point of conflict in negotiating with people. If you're a fast decision maker, the slow decision makers drive you up the wall. If you're a pragmatic or an extrovert, you think about analyticals and amiables like this. You know, they've had that proposal for a week now. I call them up and they say they're still thinking about it. For heaven's sake, how long does it take anybody to make up their mind? Whereas if you're naturally a slow decision maker, and analytical and amiable, you're very suspicious of fast decision makers. You know, I took the proposal into him, and he looked at it very briefly, couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 minutes, and said, fine, let's go with it. Well, sure, he'll go with it now, but I bet he'll never back me up if we run into difficulties. It's just not natural for people to make decisions that quickly. On your chart, the vertical line is emotional level. Low on the top, high on the bottom, which means that analyticals and pragmatics typically make decisions based on facts, whereas amiables and extroverts typically make them based on emotions. Another way of looking at that line is organizational level. Analyticals and pragmatics are typically fairly tidy, organized, time management conscious people, whereas the amiables and the extroverts on the bottom of the chart tend to be a little bit sloppier in the way they do things, and they leave a trail of unfinished details behind them. This is the extrovert-style salesperson, very emotional, very fast decision-maker, who's always saying to his boss, when are you going to get me a secretary that'll take care of all this detail work for me? Detail work includes, in his mind, writing up the initial proposal. Can't you see that my highest and best use of time is being out there talking to people, not doing all this paperwork? He's just naturally not an organized person. Now let's describe each one of these personality styles. First of all, let's take a look at the pragmatic. This is typically a very business-like person. This is not the kind of person, if you work for one, who's going to come into the office at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and say, hey gang, I know it's only 3 o'clock, but let's close this place up and go get a beer. They're probably surrounded by time management gadgets. Anything that makes them more efficient, they will have. Probably the first person in town to have an answering machine. Remember when they first came out and everybody was saying, isn't it awful? Now they expect us to talk to machines. He had one, and it didn't occur to him that there was anything cold about it at all. Pragmatics hate the thought of wasting time. And typically, going on vacation is a waste of time to them. If you're married to one, you know how difficult it is to get them to go on vacation in the first place. Particularly, don't take them down to a place like Cancun, where there is absolutely nothing to do but sit around the swimming pool, because pragmatics can't take an awful lot of that. You'll notice by the first afternoon they're getting fairly restless, and by the evening they'll have organized a bridge tournament or a Lions Club meeting or anything to stay active. For the same reason, they typically don't like spectator sports. Thought of going down to the stadium and watching somebody else do something for 2 or 3 hours is not in the cards for them. They'll be involved in more participatory sports. They'll be hunters, fishermen, they'll fly an airplane, or they'll play basketball or something where they can be involved. Take a proposal to a pragmatic on Friday and call him up Wednesday and say, well, what do you think? He will probably say, what do I think about what? And you say, well, don't you recall we were talking about that proposal on Friday? Oh, yes, he'll say. My goodness, so much has happened since last Friday. It completely slipped my mind. Extroverts, on the other hand, love spectator sports. Boy, the thrill of being down there with all those cheering people is about as good as life gets. They're very emotional people. They're very fast decision makers. Call an extrovert up and say, hey, let's go up to Chicago for the game this weekend. They'll say, hey, yeah, let's go. Great. They love to do fun things. They love to make decisions immediately. They don't need time to think things through. Real estate people know to save their curb appeal property for this kind of buyer. Curb appeal is what the property looks like when you first pull up out front. If it looks like Tara from Gone with the Wind with the tall columns up the front, they're sold on it. They're emotional, they're fast decision makers, they want it, and they want it right now. The amiable, on the other hand, is very, very emotional, but a very slow decision maker. Typically, they like to set up barriers, because they hate high pressure. They probably have an unlisted phone number, probably hate the thought of going down to buy a new automobile because they know when they get down there they're going to get ground to death by some high-pressure salesperson. This is the little old lady in 1937. She accidentally tore off a mattress tag. You know, do not remove under penalty of law. And she's been convinced ever since that the FBI is going to find out about it, have her house surrounded with bullhorns. Come on, lady, we know you're in there. Come on out. The analytical is almost a breed apart. You used to be able to spot them from the slide rule in their pocket, but now it's become a lot more involved. They'll have a fancy wristwatch that does all kinds of calculations for them, tells them the time of day in every capital city in the world, and so on. And they will always have a calculator with them, very often a backup calculator in case the first one fails. They typically smoke a pipe because they're very thoughtful people and they don't like to shoot from the hip with an answer. And ask an analytical what day of the week it is, and he'll tell you, well, it's Wednesday. In most parts of the world. Show an analytical a book, they'll want to know how it's bound and how it's distributed. Show them a watch and they'll tell you how to make it. They're really into detail. They're very slow decision makers. They're very unemotional in the way they make their approach to people. So analyticals are the very hardest person to get a decision from in the negotiating process because they can never get enough information. Real estate agents, who typically tend to be the opposite, the extrovert type of personality, are driven up the wall by analyticals. They'll show an analytical a property on Friday, call them up on Wednesday and say, well, what do you think? And they'll say, well, I'm very close to making a decision. I've been working on it every night this week. A couple more pieces of information I do need before I can make a decision. Number one, I know you told me the house was 1,608 square feet, but did you measure that with a cloth tape or a metal tape? And the other thing I need to know is, how many BTU does it take to heat the swimming pool to 76.5 degrees on August 16th when there's a volcanic dust storm blowing in from Mexico? If I had that kind of information, then I'd be in a position where I could possibly make a decision. So those are the four personality styles. In our next session together, we'll teach you how to identify these personality styles and how to deal with them and also how they negotiate differently.
This is the end of side 9. Please fast forward the tape to the end to cue up side 10 for your listening.